Welcome back to EV News China. Coming up today, BYD doubles overseas sales, China car makers fight overcapacity, and the XPeng P7 at the IAA show. Plus, stay tuned. Later in the show, I'll tell you how many orders the new SUV from Huawei got in the first hour on sale. Welcome to EV News China, the podcast dedicated to the world's largest EV market. Each day, I'll bring you the latest headlines, expert insights, and analysis from the heart of China's booming EV industry. And reveal how these developments are shaping the global landscape. Patreon supporters fund the show, get the episodes ad-free as soon as they're ready, and be part of the EV News Daily community. Be like them by clicking on a link in the show notes. We'll start with news of BYD aiming to sell about 1 million new energy vehicles outside of China in 2025, targeting roughly double the vehicles sold overseas in the first half of the year, 472,000. This strategy puts BYD on track to challenge the top Chinese automakers like SAIC and Chery for the global market share. Last year, overseas sales were just 417,000, and so more than doubling that this year. BYD operates in 100 international markets. Vehicle exports from China, supported by overseas plants in places like Uzbekistan and Thailand. The company plans more factories in Turkey, Hungary, Brazil, and elsewhere to bypass rising tariffs. Last month in August, BYD shipped more than 900 Dolphins made in Thailand to Germany, Belgium, and the UK. And for those EU countries, those Thai-made Dolphin EVs avoid the extra 20.7% tariff on top of the existing 10% customs duty. Overseas sales now make a real difference to BYD's profits, with an estimated $5,000 per profit per car in Europe, much higher than the $1,260 profit per vehicle earned in China. As growth in China slows, BYD faces rising inventories and has launched discounts on 22 models so far. Well, in 2025 to date, BYD has sold about 2.5 million passenger vehicles worldwide. That's still up 26% compared to the same period last year. But July's year-on-year sales of just 0.1% was the smallest in a year and a half, and the smallest it can get, and still count towards being growth. BYD also trimming its sales goal for the year. Whilst their ambitions are still big, they've trimmed 4.6 a million vehicles off. So the earlier target for the year was 5.5 million, and the new sales target for BYD is 4.6 million. That's a big drop, and the figure shared with suppliers and inside the company that was shared last month, we believe, to help steer planning. But it could still be revised further if the markets shift either way. The move follows several rounds of target reductions in recent months, and sources describe tough competition from particularly Geely and Leapmotor. If BYD does sell the new number, 4.6 million vehicles this year, annual growth, well, it would still be growth, it would be 7.6%, which would be its slowest since 2020. That was when sales actually fell. The company's latest sales figures highlight the slowdown. BYD sold 373,000 EVs in August, again, about the same as August last year. Despite the slowdown, BYD's new energy vehicle sales for the first 8 months of the year, just shy of 3 million, which year on year is up 23% for the same period in 2024. Geely's also growing. Leapmotor's also growing, though. Now, China car makers are being squeezed by the price war and overcapacity. They've been crushing foreign brands in the local market at home. They've got advanced batteries, and China EVs have made the country the world's top car exporter. But after 2 years of a bruising price war, many Chinese EV makers are still in trouble. Discounting and free add-ons have driven the average new car price down to $24,000 equivalent. That's 21% lower than 4 years ago. This has hit both the combustion specialists and new EV players. Mitsubishi quit China completely. Dongfeng sales are down 14%. And more EV companies left than entered last year. Even giants like BYD, who we just talked about, and Great Wall Motor are seeing profits fall, with BYD's quarterly net profit down 30% and Great Wall's first half profit down 10%. The real problem in China is over capacity. In 2024, China could produce 55.6 million cars. Well, they only sold 27.6 million. This has led to fierce competition, deep factory discounts, and losses. Regulators want more rational pricing, but local officials, well, they resist shutdowns because even loss-making factories bring jobs after all, and tax revenue. Companies like NIO are still expanding their plants despite smaller sales than planned, as government support and fear of job losses keep these factories afloat. Some call them zombie factories, by the way. The price war has sped up advances in EV tech, but domestic demand is, well, fragile, and consumer confidence is low. Exports are facing new tariffs outside of China, and while protectionism abroad and local production plans threaten the China-made vehicles, if the demand were to soften, plant closures and layoffs are surely inevitable. Without a jump in demand at home in China, some of the car industry could end up very financially distressed. China's EV startups are still trimming their losses, though. Price cuts are still ongoing, despite warning from central government not to drive these ridiculously low prices any further. Price cuts have helped China's EV startups shrink their losses, but staying afloat is getting tougher. NIO's losses dropped 26%. XPeng cut its loss as well. Zeekr slashing its loss by 88%. But profits are being squeezed ridiculously tight. Raising new funds is becoming tough. Heavy losses could force car makers out of the market, says the EV consultant Ding Haifeng. The pressure is especially high if your EV brand is listed and it's on the stock exchanges because you've got to show really quick progress. Okay, let's talk about a vehicle that we're excited about, and that is the XPeng or XPeng P7 debuting in Europe. XPeng's next generation P7 made its debut at the IAA show in Munich as deliveries begin across China. XPeng says the next P7 brings together an updated design, cutting-edge technology, and they streamed it live today. Inside, the new P7 features a redesigned look and comes standard with their in-house Turing AI chip architecture. There are three Turing chips, two dedicated to smart driving features and one handling cockpit functions, with a combined effective compute of 2,250 TOPS or TOPS. Four P7 variants are on sale in China. They start at 219,800 RMB up to 301,800 RMB. That undercuts Tesla's Model 3. The XPeng P7 undercuts that quite considerably. Model 3 starts at 235,500 RMB. Deliveries of the P7 began nationwide last week, and the car is set to share the Munich show floor with new models from the likes of Leapmotor. Now, NIO's CEO, William Lee, says the company plans to deliver 50,000 vehicles a month in the fourth quarter of the year, powered by their multi-brand strategy. The launch of the Onvo L90 and the new ES8, the large SUV, are going to be key, with both expected to hit 15,000 units in monthly production. The L90 will get there in October. The ES8 will get there by December. Next year, NIO will launch three big new SUVs, the ES9. Saw some spy pictures of that. I'll report that on the podcast in a future episode. ES9. Looking like a really big three-row SUV. A five-seat ES7 and the Onvo L80. NIO's second quarter revenue was 19.01 billion yuan, which is up 9% year over year and 58% above the previous quarter. Vehicle deliveries reached 72,000 units in the second quarter of the year. That's up 25% from last year and 71% from Q1. The company's overall gross margin is 10%. They spent 3.01 billion yuan on R&D, and they still have 27 billion yuan cash at hand at the end of June. Now, more evidence of big names from Western car makers heading to senior positions in China. Fabian Schmaltz, who helped shape Lamborghini and Porsche vehicles like the Taycan, has now joined Xiaomi as the head of exterior design. Xiaomi's recent SU7 and YU7 have stirred debate, many seeing design parallels to vehicles like Porsche and Ferrari, earning them nicknames to do with how they've ripped off those vehicle designs. responding to comparisons, Xiaomi's Li Tianyuan explained the design team's focus on emotional value, saying their aim is to create cars that feel intuitive and delight their drivers. Li highlighted that China's new energy transition offers a chance for designers to leap ahead, and Xiaomi's approach weaves the practical needs with emotional resonance, they say. But look, hiring someone who is ex-Lamborghini, ex-Porsche Taycan design is seen as a move to support their expansion outside of China and expanding overseas. Now, we'll take a quick break on the podcast. We'll come back. We'll talk about Aito, JAC, and Chang'an's car with a 6C charging rate. Stick around. Back in a mo. Well, Chang'an has revealed the Nevo A06. The Nevo A06 will launch later this year, fully electric and EREV versions. It's got a 6C battery, and the C rate is basically an indicator of the speed at which it charges and discharge. In this case, we always talk about C rate in terms of how quickly an EV charges. It can add a kilometre of range every second. The car targets the mid to large sedan segment, does the Nevo A06. It's 4.88 metres in length, 1.9 metres wide, and but just under 1.5 metres in height, with a 2.9-metre wheelbase. So, yeah, I'd say a mid-size sedan. The chassis uses front aluminium double wishbone and rear five-link suspension for comfort. The drag coefficient, they say, is 0.217. That's incredibly low. Comprehensive sensors, roof-mounted LiDAR, millimeter wave radars, 12 ultrasonics, 11 cameras, highly advanced level 2 driver assistance system. Visually, an 89-inch through-type headlight with 236 LEDs, they say, creates a smiley face look up front. The battery electric version has two powers, either 210 or 120 kilowatts. And a couple of battery sizes you can get on these. Actually, three. All are LFP packs, either 42, 51, or 63 kilowatt hours, up to 630 kilometers CLTC. The top BEV variant has 800 volts architecture underneath it and a silicon carbide platform, so very quick, but also very, very rapid to charge. On the EREV version, by the way, which works with both an engine and a battery, they say that the charge you can take at 9 minutes to go 10 to 80. Oh, sorry, that's the 30 to 80. It's 12 minutes, 10 to 80. That's incredible. Obviously, you have to find a charging station that'll go that quickly. Now, Aito just dropped some news. They have opened pre-orders for the new M7. This is quite a premium vehicle, actually. It starts about $40,000 equivalent, about 288,000 yuan. There's a battery and EREV version. They say 20,000 orders placed in the first 10 minutes, and that number jumped to 100,000 in the first hour. The new model launches on September 23rd, and it sits above today's entry point of the Aito M7. Updates include new exterior, interior specs, and size. The vehicle grows by 6 centimetres and by 21 centimetres in the wheelbase. Staying close in terms of styling, you'd say it now echoes the larger Aito M8. Continuous light bar linking the headlights and the logo above it. Every version comes standard with Huawei's new driving assist LiDAR and upper trims at a 192-line LiDAR on the roof, a rear solid-state LiDAR, 5 4D radars, a laser plus camera setup on the other variant, which will spot obstacles as small as 30 centimetres at night. Well, the new Aito M7 is a reasonably sized vehicle. Like I say, it's quite a premium vehicle. So over a 3-metre wheelbase on this, over a 5-metre long vehicle. 5 and 6 seat layouts return. The BEV version offers a rear drive model with 227 kilowatts and an all-wheel drive version as well, with a 160 kilowatt front motor added. Battery size, like I say, premium, large vehicle, 100 kilowatt hour battery is standard in this. The EREV version pairs a 1.5 litre engine. That's pretty common, actually, with either the same rear motor for the rear-wheel drive or an all-wheel drive setup as well. And finally, let's talk about a very affordable car looking like something rather a lot more expensive. JAC has updated the E30X. This is a small, compact, city, urban, cheap car. Costs about $9,800 US equivalent. It's 70,000 yuan when you go on, when you buy that. Sales are now starting. And it was recently seen in China with a new front end design. And let's say it's been heavily influenced by Huawei's Aito M9. Now, the M9 is their premium SUV and very expensive premium vehicle. The M9 costs nearly $65,000 US equivalent. It's 470,000 yuan. The E30X, in contrast, also sold as the JAC UA3, launched a couple of years ago at a slightly higher price, but demand was lagging, so they lowered the prices. Only sold about 25,000 units of this small car. Now, spy shots from earlier this month show the new headlights linked by an LED strip and a front bumper that really looks like a little baby version of the Aito M9. And, well, that's no bad thing, because this vehicle looks way more premium than the pricing. Imitation of luxury models is widespread amongst China's budget low-speed EVs, but it's less common in regular passenger cars like this. JAC, whose Maestro joint venture with Huawei builds very expensive sedans, is now targeting volume with this very cheap E30X. This goes right up against other budget EVs like the BYD Seagull and Geely's Xingyuan as well. So a five-seat cabin, 300-liter boot or trunk, and different motor options, up to 100-kilowatt motor, up to 51.5-kilowatt-hour battery as well. So decent specs on these small, cheap cars, very competitive sector of the market. And that is your podcast for today. And that's the return of EV News China. If you made it to the end of this show, by the way, you may be interested to know that we ran a pilot series back in July, actually, before the summer, and also before the summer holidays at least, and it went down really well. And I wish I could have brought EV News China back sooner, but what with 7 weeks of kids' holidays and just the whole routine being totally thrown out of whack until school started again, it would have been very, very difficult. So we do have some more help coming in on EV News Daily, which, you know, is an investment. It is a really a big investment to bring people in to help me write these podcasts. But I think it's worth making, kind of taking that short-term hit to see if we can grow the podcast. And one of the ways that we'll do that, along with some more special shows, obviously YouTube has to start again very soon. But one of them is EV News China. So if you've made it to the end, congratulations. We'll do this every day, every weekday. It'll be, I think, Sunday night to Thursday night, because China being ahead of us, my time, at least in terms of time zones, and trying to bring you all the details of what's happening in the world's largest electrical vehicle market. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you on the next one.